We're into the second hour of Wednesday's 9 till noon show. How you all keeping this morning? I hope you're very well indeed. Good morning, Greg. Trump is simply a megalomaniac and a danger to this planet. In my opinion, the sooner he's gone, the better. Scary times for the whole world. It's interesting, too, he says that because there was some suspicion that Iran had a hand in attempted assassinations of Donald Trump, and he said that he's left orders that if anything happens to him, Iran would be effectively wiped out. Good morning, Greg. When their neighbouring Muslim countries won't take them, what does that tell you about the Gazans? But we'll take them, no problem. Well, what country would just willingly take in 2 million people or 1.5 million people from another country? I mean, can you imagine if you tried to do that here? Yes, of course, we do have an asylum system, as Jordan and Egypt does as well. But Donald Trump is talking about moving an entire population from their land into settlements in other countries. Why would any country not resist that to some extent, at least until they get a better deal or something? But anyway, this caller says that we have no problem bringing them in. Remind me and your listeners what age they marry off little girls in Gaza. These people are sick and it's happening and is allowed to happen in this country. Our laws mean nothing to these people. They do as they please, says that listener. On the ESB thing, if there is one major issue with the EU, it would be the state aid rules. We never should have privatised our key public industries like electricity, says a listener. The fact that a third of our power is green, but we pay more than most of the world for our power, just proves that privatisation has absolutely shafted the public. Will electricity suppliers refund us for all the time we have no power? No, because that's an act of God and they're protected by that. It's not their problem. So of course they won't. Jeez. As if. But will they charge you to fix the problem? Yes, of course they will. Hi, Greg. I read in the newspaper that Ireland will be introducing autism-friendly parking spaces to support individuals with hidden disabilities such as autism. I would like to know about Donegal County Council's plans for implementing these spaces. We've received a sticker to display on our car windshields, but are unclear on when the initiative will be rolled out. Could you please check if we can get more details on the timeline and locations of these parking spaces? Yes, we will check into that. Leave that with us. Hi, Greg. I heard talk on Highland Radio yesterday about breast cancer care. I had a referral from my doctor on the 31st of December to the breast clinic in Letterkenny. I've been told there's a 5-month waiting list for normal referrals. Surely this is not good enough. If there is anything ominous, then surely this waiting time will affect the outcome, not to mention the mental torture, wondering if I'm okay. I'm sorry with what you're going through, because that's like a 5-month purgatory potentially. I presume the doctor was listening to a concern you had or noticed some change in your body. And is that why you would be referred to the breast clinic in Letterkenny? A 5-month waiting list, is that normal? I'm going to throw that out to people out there who understand this more than I. Obviously, we can't reassure someone because they wouldn't be referred if something didn't need to be checked. And that would be that. Perhaps wouldn't be helpful. I don't know the answer to that. But 5 months for a regular referral does seem an awful long time. I think if the GP noticed something on me that could be potentially cancer related and referred me, and I was told you have to wait 5 months, that would be 25 written off for me, to be completely honest with you. It's just my nature. Greg, I was shocked to hear ESB, the National Electricity Supply Board in Ireland, says people will pay for line repairs, not the company. Even though the ESB made €400 million in profit for the first 6 months of last year and its executives were given huge bonuses, this country never fails to shock me. That's going to become a political hot potato, by the way. Make no doubt about that. I wanted to raise a question about home internet. Ours has been out since Storm Awen, 11 days now. Vodafone is our broadband provider, but they're impossible to get information from. Now status updates, only the odd text to say they're working on it. I believe there are a number of people without it. I'm aware power had to be restored to families as a priority, but not sure what the holdup is with the internet. I can't work from home and the TV's out as well. This is affecting Cornwall, Letterkenny, Tullygay, all out. They're two separate issues, really. I mean, the ESB crews are working on ESB-related matters. Perhaps your internet is affected by the ESB being out, but at this point, it sounds to me like Vodafone need to get out and fix the issues themselves. I don't know. I wish I could offer some comfort or information that's of use there. Unfortunately, I can't. But we'll keep an eye on it and see what we can find out. In relation to speed limits, another money-making racket, more speed vans, more fines. It'll make no difference to road safety. Fix hospital waiting times and sort the trolley culture. This would save many more lives, believes the listener. 50, 60, 80-kilometre signs to slow down isn't the problem. It's using devices whilst driving, says the listener. The Lifford to Ballybuffet Road, will the speed stay at 100 kilometres per hour? Will Castlefin to Castlederg stay 80? It all depends on the type of road, and that hasn't even really gone to consultation yet. If it's the national route, i.e. an N on the sign, it's staying as is. If it's an R, it affects effectively just the N56. So that's pretty clear, isn't it? If it's your main local roads, they're probably going to stay as they are. The type of roads between towns and villages in more rural areas. If you go off those roads onto the L's, that's where you're going to see the speed limits being reduced. So the actual impact on getting from A to B, I think, is going to be relatively minimal in this county. A caller, though, believes speed limits are not the problem, it's driver behaviour, and many people would agree. Hi, Greg. Is this national, the speed limit? Thanks, Greg. Tony in Carrigart. They're changing right across the country. Tony in Carrigart, most of your speed limits won't change unless you sort of head up towards Loch Salt or off the beaten path, so to speak. When are we going to reduce the speed limit? The cars can go up to 200 kilometres an hour. Like, give a person with diabetes sweets. It can cause serious damage. I'm sure there are ways to limit car speeds. There are. Of course there are. Hi, Greg. What about the speed for tractors? Are they speeding up? I don't know. A few more on this before we take the breaks. I know some of you are keen to play the bingo numbers. In relation to the Milford Kilmacrennan Road, by the way, that road traffic collision, it was a single vehicle collision. The road is open and no injuries reported, which is good news, isn't it? I do worry when we get handed sheets of paper, you just don't know what the outcome is going to be. But I'm told it was a single vehicle collision and that the road is open and there are no reported injuries. Let me just read that in its entirety to make sure. Yep, Gardaí received a report of a single vehicle road traffic collision on the Kilmacrennan Road, Milford. It was around 9 a.m. this morning. No injuries reported and the road remains open. So that's positive, isn't it? Now, I'm sure the person involved, there's a bit of shock there, but you know what I mean. I don't care what the speed limit is as long as it's clearly marked, says the listener. Drivers will have more time to text, believes another. Hi there, is a really dangerous junction in Kilmacrennan. Big lorries, etc., are not heeding the present speed limit. What can be done before it's too late? The issue needs addressing. Give us a little bit more information there. Another, the way to stop people breaking the current speed limit is to reduce the speed limit. Can't honestly see that working, though. It'll raise more money in fines. It's a cultural change. You know, you can ban drugs, right? People still take drugs, but if it's illegal, right, a lot of people, not all, choose not to because they don't want to break the law. They don't have to get caught with drugs up their nose. Do you know what I'm saying? We'll spend that much time looking at signs that we can cross the ditch. All right, come on. I'm sure you can glance at a sign and keep driving at the same time. How are they going to monitor speeding on rural roads when there's no room for two vehicles to meet? Never mind parking a speed van. Again, it's to sort of change attitudes. I live in Bonagie and people fly in the roads morning, noon and night. I know a quad who flies up and down the road. We can't even walk on the road anymore. It's a disgrace, they say. A quick birthday request now for my cousin, Jimma Harkin. Hi, Jimma. You're in Chernaleague in Carndonagh and celebrating your 80th birthday today. Jimma used to drive the Swilly bus from Carn to Derry as well as the school bus for years, so he's well known in Carn. We send him love and best wishes from his family in Carn, London and Glasgow, and that comes in from Charles Coyle, Father Charles Coyle, in fact. So a very big happy birthday to you, Jimma, Jimma Harkin, Chernaleague in Carndonagh. 80 today. I hope you are spoiled rotten for all that you've given to other people in the past. You deserve it. Now, you welcome back to the programme. We welcome onto it now Councillor Jack Murray. It's funny how some sort of stories align and there becomes a theme. And we're talking about roads and speed. And people saying there's a lack of enforcement. And then when they do try and enforce it, people aren't happy either. Jack, this is in relation to a speed van in, quite literally, in Buncrana.
Yeah, and look, I'd front load my comments. First of all, by saying speed vans are a crucial part of road safety, and well, they can save lives when they're deployed correctly at dangerous roads and where speeding is a problem. But in Buncrana yesterday and the day before, we've the bizarre situation where a speed van has been parked for a number of hours in between two speed ramps on a road which is extremely busy at school drop-offs, and people just can't understand why there, when there's so much more roads with greater speed, greater danger, accidents on a more frequent occurrence. Why is this not being utilised at those locations rather than slap bang in the middle of an urban street? It's taken up two car parking spaces in front of a number of local cafes, news agents, health shop there, Vodafone, and local businesses have been quite irate, for want of a better word, about this. But it's so bizarre that I can't understand the logic behind the decision to deploy it at this location. As I say, it's only a number of feet from a wide pedestrian crossing speed ramp. So if you did manage to build up speed at that particular location, you would destroy the suspension on your car because you're about to hit a speed ramp. So I just don't understand the logic of it.
It's definitely clocking speed.
Well, that's what it appears to be. I don't think these speed vans are collecting or checking tax. I don't think that's their role.
It's just that in terms of the vision lines coming out of the vehicle, if a van parks behind it or a car parks behind it, I don't know precisely how they work, but has someone seen him actually out or her actually out, sort of, you know, the way they go out a certain distance and they set up their equipment to make sure the camera is working and all that kind of stuff? Like, are they're definitely clocking speed.
Well, myself and Potter McLaughlin have written to the Transport Authority asking for an explanation from this. And look, I'm hoping to be convinced that this has merit, but it's causing quite a concern to a number of people in the town who feel that this is here to raise revenue. And regardless of the reason that it's been there.
But you've made the argument that it would almost be impossible to break the speed limit in that area. Yeah. So it can't be about revenue making, because your own words suggest that it'd be almost impossible to break the speed limit there.
Yeah, and if it was there for any other reason, or if it's there not being used at all, that raises further questions. Like, I know at that time in the morning, and I'm regularly, and I'm sure parents would have been on your show talking about Niamh Mhora, the school in Tubin, yep, where speed is a serious problem in the mornings. There was a time when the bus couldn't even cross the road and was dropping people on the other side of the road, children at that time, because they were so concerned about speed. Yet there's a speed van sitting on Buncrana Main Street during school drop-off at that time. So again, if it's there doing nothing, or if it's spare, that raises further concerns that why is it not being used to make our roads safe, particularly when there's such widespread concern at other locations.
Unfortunately, though, you know, we do see serious and fatal road traffic collisions in built-up areas. Very sadly, recently we saw instances of, you know, pedestrians losing their life in built-up areas. Is there not an argument that maybe this is a reminder for people to be aware, for people to be alert, to ensure their speed is appropriate, to ensure their car is taxed and roadworthy, and to try and, you know, influence the attitudes of drivers in built-up areas as well?
Yeah, and look, that's a good point as well. But again, it can be located and create the same awareness at roads that see the same with the traffic, but fast-moving traffic further out from the main street. And it's caused serious concern among businesses, as locations have taken up parking spaces. Yeah. People are deterred maybe from driving up the main street. They think they're going to get hit for arbitrary speed and fines that they don't deserve. So it'll, and this is recently 2 days, but it has been a regular.
There's a balance between, and I have to play devil's advocate here. I don't want Buncrana businesses to be having a go at me. It's not my motivation, but like, you know, no one wants, if people are avoiding the main street because they don't want to be done for speeding, well, they're speeding, and then the van is serving its purpose.
Well, I don't think they're speeding. They might be worried that there could be some reason or they might accidentally go over a very low speed limit. Like, speeding on Buncrana Street is not an issue of concern for the local businesses. It is an issue of concern outside local schools at that time and on more dangerous, fast-moving traffic.
I could pick a million places it could be where people would love to see it there just to alter driving behaviour at peak times. I get that point 100%. I'm just trying to tease out with you maybe the logic of having it there. Someone wonders, are they maybe they're in Pizza Max for lunch, but you're of the view that they're maybe actually working.
Yeah, well, they've been there from about 6:30 in the morning until the afternoon time, so they're there for a considerable amount of time, and then it moves on. Look, I've said to myself and Paddy McLaughlin, I've asked the questions. They might come back with a logical explanation, but at a time, and it always is a concern, road safety and fatalities on our roads, I just feel that when we have something that is important and is crucial in creating road safety or reducing speed, it could be so much better utilised.
I get you. And there's a lot of pushback too on there's a speed van that sits outside the chapel in Donegal Town. It's slightly different because there is a speeding issue there in a sweeping corner. This seems to make much less sense, but we will await news to see what's the point or purpose of it. Stay with me though, because I just want to raise another issue while I have you, and that is concerns over the future of the birth, deaths and marriages office in Buncrana. It's kind of office that you only know it's there when you need it, but you know, over time, everyone's going to need it for one reason or another. It's going. Is that what we're being told?
Yeah, unfortunately, this was raised with me a number of weeks ago. The lady who works there is reaching retirement now. And given the government's embargo within the health system, that there will be no replacement. So I had written to the HSE, Paddy McLaughlin, written to the Minister for Health, and we both got a response yesterday evening that confirmed that the births, deaths and marriages in Buncrana is closing from the 20th of March. And I just think it's a really, really retrograde step.
And did that office service the whole of Inishowen?
It did, yeah. It's the only office in Inishowen. The response we got, I almost try to put a positive spin, that people can avail of the service in Letterkenny, Donegal Town and Sligo and Stranorder. That is no good to anybody in Malin Head, Beauville, Carndonagh, Buncrana. That's a significant distance. Yeah. And look, I'm sure you're probably fed up hearing it, but Inishowen's bigger than County Louth. It's very significant, the widespread area. So we do need the service. And This is just another knock-on effect of the blunt instrument of the recruitment embargo within the health services.
It's a toughie because if someone needs to sort of acquire death certs, you know, and you have to do that quite quickly to sort stuff out, to be faced then from, instead of going, which is a trek in itself, let's use Malin for an example, to Buncrana, but then to have to go to Letterkenny and go into what's going to be an extremely busy office now, you'd imagine. And then you talk about parking and all the other sides of things. People will feel it's just another service being stripped from Inishowen.
Absolutely. And look, I'm being openly parochial when it comes on behalf of Inishowen, but I'm sure for the staff in Letterkenny too, that they now have to take on an area with over 40,000 people in it. And that's going to severely increase their workload as well, create further delays in the Letterkenny office. So I'm sure in Letterkenny, they would rather that the Buncrana office was open and servicing the people of Inishowen as well. Look, deaths particularly, as an example, obviously that affects the elderly people more than others. So there could be elderly people, their partners, or who've lost a partner, now having to travel the whole way from Malin Head to
additional complication they don't need. Did the letter you received, which I haven't had sight of, did it reference the recruitment embargo, or is that a conclusion that you've come to?
The conclusion I've come to, no, that doesn't reference that. It just says, yes, we're closing. But like, I am aware that there's a retirement there.
It's possible they could redeploy staff. You know what I mean? That if they were interested in retaining it, I'm sure until such time as maybe the embargo elapses, that they could redeploy a member of staff. I wonder,
Well, it was a very straight to the point response that I got, just saying simply that it is being closed from the 20th of March and people can go elsewhere. So, look, we'll be putting the argument to them. We don't want to take this one laying down, and we'll be putting as much pressure as we can in every avenue possible until the 20th of March to retain what this is a crucial vital crucial service within Buncrana and for the entire Inishowen Peninsula as a whole.
Yeah, we'll have to chase that one up. As I say, it's, you know, people will feel it's like death by a thousand cuts. It's as I said right at the beginning, it's one of those offices that you don't necessarily know it's there until it's your time to go to it, and many people do. All right, Councillor Murray, thank you for your time. A caller says, I didn't know, actually, that there was a speed van set up in Glenties Town on a regular basis, so it's not just Buncrana. And they also referenced the one I did, Donegal Town across from the chapel. There have been collisions there. It can be a bit of a dodgy, sweeping corner in Donegal Town. Maybe a slightly stronger argument for that one than there might be for the one in Buncrana. For any of you watching on the stream, it looks like the van stopped for an ice cream. There's a big ice cream there as well. It doesn't look like it's set up well to track people speeding, because I'm not sure of the distance that those vans clock people at, but it doesn't look like it could do it effectively. I don't understand. It's all done on... I would imagine, and I could be very wrong, but I'd imagine you have to be covered over two distances for it to calculate your speed for or your speed for a certain amount of time. And it just doesn't look like that could... Maybe they've got short throw lasers, I haven't a clue, but it doesn't look like it could effectively track people's speed there. But again, someone out there knows more than me. Maybe you used to work in a speed van. I know there used to be... Someone who was quite involved in that industry used to text us in now and again. Maybe they can give us a bit of information. Let me know. When has a speed van saved lives? Just one example. It's trying to prove a negative there. It's one of those arguments that it's a good question, but you're asking me to prove a negative, and that's borderline impossible. Speed van set up in Glenties. I mentioned that one, didn't I? I also mentioned that maybe they're even having a pizza. I thought the speed cameras were only deployed in areas where there'd been serious road collisions. To the best of my knowledge, there have been no serious road collisions on the main street in Buncrana. And a caller says, it's a collision waiting to happen in Kilmacrenan. Why has there not been a speed van checking the speed? If you want to shoot fish in a barrel and save lives, put it in Kilmacrenan. You'll make a fortune, but you might actually save lives in collisions there. I'll add to that. Okay, you're very welcome back to the programme. We have in studio now a familiar voice to many of you, of course, Keith Fletcher. Good morning. Oh, so how the hell are you, Keith?
How the hell are you?
Good to have you in. Right, Keith, of course, with you every Saturday evening, but he's a busy man because he's a worker as well and chair of the Letterkenny Triathlon. Letterkenny Triathlon, talk to me about this.
Right, so we're having an open night next Wednesday night, the 12th of February. So it'll be down in the Aura. You know, if people want to, sometimes people come along, you know, how do I find out about triathlon?
Yep.
How do I join? What's involved? So we're having an open night next Wednesday night.
I suppose because everyone you meet, if they're interested in this, do triathlons, right? So how do you come from, well, I wouldn't mind, to becoming one of these guys? And I use that across both genders, of course.
Right, because I was chatting to a swim coach the last day, and she was saying, you know, you have people who have learned to swim who didn't swim before. You have people maybe that have done the Couch to 5K with Chris, and then, you know, they think, right, so what's next?
Mm.
You know, what do I do next? And I'm saying, well, one of the options is, sure, come and join the triathlon club, you know.
And you have done triathlons, of course.
I started in 2014.
So you were relatively, oh, it's 2025, still relatively late adapter.
I was 50.
Yeah.
You know, so, but in that, and like that.
Are you pushing 60?
62 now in August.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, everyone, get onto triathlons.
So, there you go. There's the benefit of doing triathlons.
Wow, okay. I don't really consider people's age, but when you talked about 50 in 2014, I couldn't help doing the maths. Wow, brilliant stuff, Keith. You look fantastic.
Thanks. But at that stage, you know, if I had a swam one length of the pool, I would have thought it was great. I would have been knackered. Mm-hmm. I would have been puffed.
But you were running then, though.
But before, I had always done different sports than that, but I sort of... I had done a charity adventure race in the year before that, and then met my friend Paddy. I clearly remember this. Met my friend Paddy. What he had, Paddy? Oh, I've joined the triathlon club. And what does that involve? Oh, swimming and running and cycling. And, you know, and my first thought, to be honest, was, are you off your head?
Mm.
You know, and he was, sure, come down and try it. And so I went down and tried it, and I discovered then that I liked it, you know.
Yeah.
And the thing I liked about the swimming is it's coached sessions.
Yes.
So you're not just throwing and splashing them down the pool. So you're taught how to swim properly.
Yeah, and use your energy efficiently.
Yeah, exactly.
And you would have been fit, but you're using a whole different range of muscle groups, which was why I was at. Because it's funny, you can see, like footballers, you can run around a pitch for 90 minutes, right, or 70 minutes of his GEA, but you put them into a boxing ring and they try white-collar boxing and they're gassed in 40 seconds.
Yeah.
It's different sort of... it's different skills.
Oh, definitely.
And different muscle groups different skills. And what have you, right?
Well, that's what we said. That wee leaflet I gave you, it's, as I was saying, you know, it's a person who doesn't think...
Oh, I see you're 62 now. Over the glasses.
That one's good enough. Yeah.
Yeah, and you did this together yourselves, actually, which is fantastic.
Yeah, Peter, one of the guys, put that together for us.
So what is a triathlon? And then we'll build back up
right,
to where
triathlon, so tri is it's in, so
three.
Normally it starts off with a swim,
mm-hmm.
and then you've got the cycle, and then you've got the run at the end. So, and within that, then you've got different lengths. So if you see in the wee leaflet, that's to read this for you. Shut up. So your basics are, you have the sprint triathlon, which is a 750 metre swim, a 20K bike and a 5K run. That's sort of your basic.
Yeah.
And then after that, you have the Olympic, which is double the numbers. Right, 1,500 metre swim, 40K bike ride and a 10K run. And then you go up into the bigger stuff. You have the Ironman 70.3, which is known as a half Ironman, which we do in Downings every year. You probably see them down there.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is the 1,900 swim, 90K bike and a half marathon.
21.1K run. Yeah. And you do the 70.3, do you?
I did the 140.
Wow. Okay. But you build up to that.
Oh, you build up to
and
it,
And I presume not everyone who gets involved in it will always necessarily progress to the Ironman 140.
No,
it's like leagues, isn't it? You can say, right, I'm going to focus on and be my best as a sprint triathlete.
There are loads of events on every year. Like you have loads, you have ones in Downings, in Derry, in Ballyshannon, in Strabane, in Omagh, in Sligo, in Roscommon, and they're the near hand ones.
Yeah, yeah.
So there are people in the club that just go and do the sprint ones every year. You know, and that's great, and they enjoy that, and they get fulfillment out of that. You know, and you have the camaraderie, because if you go to a race, you're going to have other people in the club that are there, and you're going, or you could travel together to the race.
Yeah,
you know.
And listen, we're going to have to mention, firstly, A, it's a great way to meet people, but also, two, we know the benefits on one's mental health, for an example, in getting out there and getting into the fresh air. So how is it a competition then? So say, for instance, you enter, we'll focus on the sprint triathlon.
Yeah.
Is there different age categories, or are you trying to beat your own personal best, or maybe people don't treat it as terribly competitive, which I don't believe to be the case. But
all of the above.
Yeah.
The problem with doing, if you do a sprint triathlon, say you did a sprint triathlon, the problem, for want of a better word, you have the next time is now you have a time to beat.
Yes, of course.
You know, and that's your personal one. The other one is there are age categories, you know, you have the open one, which is for everybody. Then you'd have the over 40s, the over 50s, the over 60s. So you do have age categories with
but also within that, I mean, you could just be an amazing swimmer and maybe not a little bit weaker runner. But
you definitely have that.
You'll have people that one of the tries, effectively the triathlon, they're stronger than others.
Yeah.
You talked to swimming a little bit later on. What would be your best discipline? Running, swimming, cycling.
I like running.
Yeah, that's your thing. So yeah, when we talk about inviting people to get involved in this, you know, like if we're talking about a couch to 5K, maybe someone who's got very limited sort of experience with exercise, and they build up to that, and God knows where they didn't go on to from now. Who are we talking to today, do you think, that would be suitable for getting an interest and involvement in triathlons?
Anybody and everybody. You know, there are people that have done other sports for years that think, oh, what, you know, could I do something different? Could I try something different? And as I said, you've got the people who have done the couch to 5K or the people who have done the swimming lessons. You know, I actually got, if you don't mind, I got a text this morning from a fella who joined in 2017. And about £100 now, I won't find the bloody text. here it is, right. I joined in 2017, never swam in open water, right? Started swimming, started the Wednesday evening, progressed and completed the sprint in 2018. Did his first half Ironman And then did Sheep Haven. And in 2024, which is 7 years later, he did a full Ironman in Copenhagen.
But he did the sprint a year later.
Yeah.
In 2018. That's amazing. Yeah. Okay. You know, now, there's a whole structure to this too. In the leaflet we have, in front of you, the training gear, the stuff that you would need, right? Common sense, right? But also the schedule then, because you're not sort of thrown into it by yourself. You talked about coach swimming and what have you, but there's a structure to this.
Oh, yes, it's just not willy-nilly and you turn up on a race day. You know, you'll see there, well, Monday is you do strength and conditioning in the house yourself. Tuesday, we'll allow you to rest that day.
All right, not so bad.
Wednesday is the coached swimming session, which is very good because swimming is, I've discovered, is actually quite technical, you know, because of the breathing. Some people breathe to one side, some people breathe to both sides. It's very important that you do breathe. Hands going under the water, you know, fingers, wrist, elbow.
There's a technique there.
It's very, you know, and that's where the coaching comes in. And we have some great coaches in the club, you know. And when we take over the pool on a Wednesday night, and you've got like from a beginner's lane up to the advanced lane, so you're not thrown in with really, really good swimmers at the start.
Which could be discouraging for some.
You know.
And then you can see where you can get to too as well. So it's so on Thursday then
the group run, and that run is done at a pace what they call conversational pace.
Got you.
So you know nobody's out there running away and leaving you, and you know, and that's good, you know. And again, that builds up over the summer and as evenings get brighter. Friday you can have a swim or a rest day, and then Saturday is the cycle day. So we leave the Aura at 9 a.m. and depending on your ability, or depending on you know, some might do a 20k cycle, some might do a 40k cycle. As I call them, the bigger boys, they could be away for 3 hours. You know, but everybody leaves together.
And then on Sunday, the long run from 9 a.m. Now, for those looking to get into this, you know, there potentially is quite a bit of front loading in it. Say, for instance, I'm thinking, you know, a bike.
The gear.
Exactly. Sorry, wetsuits and stuff like that there. Like, when you're inviting people to get involved here, you want them involved in all three disciplines, do you?
Yes.
So you're joining a Letterkenny Triathlon Club with a view to improving your running, your swimming and your cycling. So there is a level of commitment here, which is important, I think. Definitely. I think you sometimes need to put a bit of skin in the game to stick it out too.
Yeah. You know, and the other thing is, you know, you don't need to be spending a pile of money. You know, as I said, I did the Ironman in 2018. My bike cost me €600.
Yeah.
You know, you could spend €6,000. You could spend €10,000 on a bike.
Yeah.
You know, but that was fine for me. You know, you don't need. You can buy a wetsuit for €240. You can buy a wetsuit for €2,000.
Depends how cold you want to be. But also, too, I think you know people want the best of stuff. It's also what you can, the best you can get out of something as well. Stay there, Mary. How are you?
Good morning, Greg.
Now you are. Firstly, I think you want to congratulate Keith. He's the new chair of Letterkenny Triathlon.
Absolutely. Wish him the very best of luck.
Right. What's your triathlon experience, Mary?
Well, I wouldn't be one of the more senior ones. I would be maybe the mother of the club, maybe so.
Right.
Joined late in life, I suppose, to triathlon. I have 3 triathlons done, I think. Quite a few duathlons. Last year I did the Mullagh Moor triathlon, the shorter version. I did a aquathon in Oma last year, so I've quite a lot done, quite a lot.
And you would have had a running background, but swimming was a new enough discipline for you?
It was a new enough discipline, and as Keith was saying, quite technical, that, you know, just getting the stroke right. I haven't got it right as yet, but I'll get there.
And what was it like going from sort of pool swimming to open water swimming? Because they're different, obviously. I mean, just in terms of, you
very
know.
Different, very different, yeah. I suppose my husband does a lot of open water swimming, and he had been saying to me for quite a long time, oh, you should do this, it's brilliant, and all the rest. Truth be known, I had a wetsuit in the shed for a full year before I put it on.
Right.
But anyway, what's the triathlon club, as I said to your other lady on the phone, go to Garton, you have the kayak support, you feel very, very safe. You know, as Keith said earlier on, everybody's at their own pace. There's always somebody near you or beside you. and the kayaker is there if you need help or if you need assistance, which makes it very, very safe and very comfortable.
And Mary, obviously, I'm told that when you get into this kind of stuff, you know, it can become quite addictive. But what drives you on? Do you? Is it the participation? Is it your own personal best? Do you have a frenemy that you you're always trying to get one over on? Like, you know, what kind of what motivates you?
Well, I suppose I'm the least competitive person you could imagine.
Okay.
But it's the friendship, it's the camaraderie, it's just the inclusion for someone of my age. I'll actually be 68 this year.
Okay.
So for my age, it's brilliant that I can get on there with somebody in the foyer, 17, 18, have a chat with them. It's just the inclusion, I think, that I really, really like and enjoy, and the support. And as Keith said earlier on, you know, the swim coaches are excellent. The running is brilliant on a Thursday night. Now, the rest of the week, I probably would do my own thing. I would go for a run with a group of friends on a Saturday morning rather than the bike. And then I'd go to swimming classes or something like that. No, it's actually, I suppose, in fairness, I'm thankful that I'm able to do it.
Yeah, but I mean, obviously, you know, with the range of muscles and the bone movements and the cold water, and I mean, you're ticking so many boxes of the stuff we should be doing to stay as active and healthy for as long as we possibly can. I mean, you're only 68, but I mean, you know, you're doing everything you can to ensure you can do this for God knows how long yet, Mary.
Yeah, please God, yeah.
All right, when's your next event?
Oh, ask Keith, he'll tell you.
When's Mary's next event, Keith?
There's a duathlon in Bunkrana on the 16th of March. So
16th of March, that'll get you set for a
No pressure,
Mary.
No pressure, Keith.
No pressure.
All right, lovely to chat to you, Mary. Keep going. Thanks very much indeed. You know, and there's nothing typical in this day and age, but I think, you know, speaking to Mary and for many people learning maybe that you're 62, Keith, as well, you know, we can put our own barriers. This comes up time and time again. You know, oh, I can't do that or blah. You know what I mean? But why not? I mean, you know.
Yeah, you know, and I was just thinking, you know, and just thinking of me, and you know, like with young Mark McGinley, who got the Sports Star Award for triathlon, you know, and he's whatever, 19 or 20, and we have everybody and everybody in between that as well. You know, so it's totally inclusive.
Fully inclusive,
you know.
Okay. And really what we're talking about is maybe sparking an interest in you. I think what's really good about this interview, from my perspective, is that it's so open. Because often people have an interest, Keith, and they say, well, how do I get involved in that? Is it a closed shop? Blah, you know what I mean?
Well,
this is about saying, no, actually, we want more of you to come along.
Yeah, well, that's what I say. I mean, even last October, there was a lady came into the swimming on the Wednesday night. So what? And she came in inquiring.
Yeah.
What was happening? Because she comes from Glenties every week, every Wednesday night. Her kids were at gymnastics, and she had something, you know, something to do for for the hour and a half. So we've, you know, I'm reeling her in.
No problem. So the open night is Wednesday today week. Yeah.
Yeah. Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
From 6 o'clock.
Yeah. They're holding an open night for anyone interested in doing a triathlon. They'll be in the front hall of the Oral Leisure Centre in Letterkenny as you go in the door. It runs from 6 to 7pm. As you can hear from Keith, it's incredibly inclusive and welcoming. And as I say, maybe people have an interest in this but didn't know where to start. Well, you've given them the place to start.
Yes.
It's next Wednesday at the Aura.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Anything you want to add, Keith?
So I'll be there, and there'll be other committee members there, you know. And obviously when you join, you have to sign up with Triathlon Ireland, because that's for, in the world we live in today, that's for insurance purposes, you know.
Of course, yeah.
So you join up with Triathlon Ireland, and then you tick the 24/7 club. And we start from there, and you know, we build, you know, as I said, you don't have to buy a bike at 10 grand. You can buy a bike, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know. And I would say people within the scene upgrade.
Yeah, you start
you,
like
you
that.
Know,
yeah,
but
you
also then that means maybe there can be a secondary, you know, market
with,
and all that kind
and
of
thing. And with safety, you know.
Well, use your cycle to work scheme.
Well, exactly.
Why not?
You can. You know, and like that, when we go out cycling on Saturday morning, you know, we advise our members to wear a high-vis jacket, to have a white light in the front, to have a red light in the back, because it is a shared area on the roads, you know, so we try and make it as easy as possible for the car drivers not to see us.
Okay. Hi, Greg. Congratulations to Keith from all Donegal Community Games.
Oh, there you go. That's great.
Okay. Keith Fletcher, thanks very much indeed. Chair of the Letterkenny Triathlon. Obviously, a relatively recent appointment, is it?
Yes.
Okay. Well done to you. Thanks. So if you weren't busy enough, just take something else on.
Why not?
Really, what this all leads to is next Wednesday between 6 and 7pm, Wednesday the 12th of February. It's an open night for anyone interested in doing a triathlon. You've heard from Keith there and you heard from Mary. That's the type of friendly people of all different ages and backgrounds, from younger to older and everything in between. It's very inclusive, it's very open, and it's at the front hall of the Aura Leisure Centre in Letterkenny. Don't be shy, head along next Wednesday between 6pm and 7pm. Keith, thanks so very much for coming in and seeing us.
Thanks, Greg.
Chat soon.